Welcome to another episode of Out of the Pods. I'm Deep T.
And I'm Natalie. And we are back.
Back, baby, on this couch from our trips, from all the things.
Deep T was in Mexico last week and I was in Charleston.
Yes.
And that was a very lonely time for me, not talking to you every day.
No, that was. That was actually, I texted you. I checked in on like maybe Saturday, which was only 2 days
and
after.
I was trying to not be needy. So I was like, when is she going to text me? Can I text her? Is she busy? Like, I don't want her to feel like pressure.
That's so funny. Busy. I was literally like on a cabana the whole day.
Wait, so Deep D texted me. She goes like, hey, like, how's your trip? And I was like, oh my God, it's good. And she ghosted me for 2 days.
Oh, I did.
I was so upset. I was like, I was checking my phone every hour. I was like, when is she going to text me? Where'd she go?
Wait, that's so funny because I remember looking at it and being, and then like someone ran at me, of course, probably with a shot. And I got so drunk.
A shot of tequila.
So many shots of tequila. I was literally wasted out of my mind, I think.
Wow. I was having a very different experience on the other side of the continent.
Yeah.
Even though Mexico isn't part of our continent. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes. It's so funny.
No, it was very strange not talking to you every day, every hour. I was really trying not to be needy because I really do think that we're codependent. 100%. So I was like trying to break the cycle, you know, being like, let me be my own person. Yeah.
You're like, let me let her have fun and then we'll chat later. But that is a hard thing.
Honestly, when you texted me, I thought I was getting texted, you know, like from a crush. I was like, but I can't play too hard to get. I was like, let me wait like a minute before I respond. It's like 30 seconds is too fast.
I'm great.
And then when you ghosted me, I was like, that fucking
honestly,
bitch.
I remember doing that too because I was like, that day was a tough one for me. That was, it was fun, but I'll get into
you're
it.
You're a little drunky. Yeah.
There's some shit that happened.
No, I really want to ask you about Mexico, but just like a side little tangent. It's so crazy that I was so hurt you ghosted me because when you typically do ghost me, like a lot of times, Deep T and I will be on like an hour long call and she's like, gotta go. Like, I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Won't call me back.
No.
But it doesn't hurt my feelings. I'm like, you know what? I'll talk to her tomorrow.
Literally. And for hours. It'll be like 6 hour conversation.
Anytime I have to hang up, because most of the times for me, I'm also like, I got to use the bathroom. So like, let me call you back. Like once I'm done using the bathroom.
Yeah.
And you know, it could be a 2 minute endeavor. Sometimes it could be a 20 minute endeavor. Really just depends on what I ate.
You're really outing
before.
Yourself here.
IBS girls unite. The IBSD girls, they know. But I was
relate.
Like, you know what? I was talking to my therapist about this.
What? About our codependency?
Kind of. Okay. Not like that, though. Okay, but I was just saying, like, oh, the reason why I love my friendship with Deep D is because it's like one of those, I wouldn't say low effort friendships, but a lot of things roll off our back.
Yeah, very low maintenance.
Like, we never hold things against each other. If there is ever a tiff, it lasts like half a day and then we're just like, whatever. And like those moments where you don't call me back or I don't call you back, I don't even think twice about it.
Yeah.
And she goes, that truly is the best sort of friendships where it isn't high effort.
Mm-hmm.
And there, it's not emotional. Yes. You guys aren't like dependent on each other, though. I was like,
maybe a little bit.
I was like, well.
Like, we're not.
I'd be like, I will have to refute that.
No,
and
I agree.
So I love that.
I agree. I think adult relationships and friendships have to be like good for the soul. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I've been in friendships before where I'm constantly being like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? Like, what did I do?
Yeah. Or there's like passive aggressiveness.
Yes. Or it's like, what's going on with you? And
it's a lot of drama.
Yeah. And I'm like,
misunderstandings.
Yeah.
And like a lot of apologies and like,
exactly.
Kind of neediness.
Yeah.
I totally get it.
Yeah. And I feel like now that we're in our 30s, I really like love friendships where it's like if there's anything being misunderstood, you can just be like, hey, like, what did you mean by this? Because at all times, like, we know we love each other and like, you know what I mean?
So like, it's not I know if I don't hear from you for a week, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
It's just that you're busy with your own life just as I'm busy with mine.
Also, a week. That's
yeah,
a
actually,
long time.
Wait,
a week is a very long time. I was like, if I don't talk to you for a week, something's definitely wrong.
I was just trying to, you know, create like a simplified example. But tell me about Mexico because your Instagram stories. Wow. Even I was like,
first
of all, you're living your best life. Whose abs are those?
I literally died. Okay. So can I just tell you the day one we were there, we obviously just like, we got an Airbnb. So we went to like the day clubs and we went every single day to the beach club. And it was so nice because they designated like literally a cabana right next to the DJ booth in the beach for us.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, I feel like royalty. I literally felt like royalty.
That's kind of my worst nightmare. You know, I hate a DJ booth, but I know for you were loving it.
Oh, I loved it. I was like, oh my God, they're playing John Summy, Dom Dala. I was like, happy. Anyways, so obviously people are just like, some people recognize me, so they're like bringing me tequila shots.
Oh.
And I didn't drink for 10 days prior to this trip. And I was like, oh my gosh, I am such a lightweight right now. And they're just bringing me shots and shots. I was like, shit. And of course, we order food. And I'm like,
obviously,
yeah, I have to order food. And, you know, obviously, I'm telling my friends, there's no way you can touch this food. Instagram eats first. I'm like trying to be aesthetic. And all of a sudden, my friend comes down and lays right in front of the food. And I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? I take a picture and I was like,
with
that
his
abs. Looks really hot.
Yeah.
I was like, this man has worked like 5 years for these abs. And I was like, I should just post this. And I look at my friend who's also drunk. I'm like, should I post this? And she's like, absolutely, just post it. And I was like, you know what? Why not? Normally, it takes me like an hour to post anything because I'm like, oh, I want it to be aesthetic. I want to make sure it gives the right tone.
Yeah.
Nope. I was just like, yep, okay, post it. The tequila did that. Anyways, I posted it. I have not gotten this much engagement on my Instagram stories in probably like a year. Because it was through the roof. Everyone's like, who is that? Is that your boyfriend? Like,
that's what I thought. I was all like, whose abs are those?
You knew whose abs they were. Come on.
No, I had to take, well, I did, but I was all like, are they? I was like, are they together? It was, I'm not gonna lie, it was pretty hot.
No, I
looked at it twice, and I typically never look at Instagram stories twice, especially yours. Because I already
yeah, you're like,
because
hey,
I was like,
because I'm sending it to you. Anyways.
Yeah, and I was like, I already know like the context of this. I was like, don't need to see it twice,
dude.
I looked at it twice,
and yeah, I had so many messages being like, what the hell? Can I tell you one message that really hurt me though?
What?
My brother.
What did he say?
He texted me and he goes, "This is pretty tasteless. I'm not gonna lie."
You should
and
be
I was like,
Sunny,
I'm on vacation.
Be like, Sunny, don't you know most of my followers are women?
Yeah, come
they appreciate
on.
This.
Yes.
No, it looks like such a fun trip. I also so follow, fun. Obviously, I know the friends that went on this trip with you. And so yeah. I followed along their little Instagram journey through yes. Mexico. And I was like, my gosh. I was like, I don't think she's going to survive this trip. And you barely came out alive, actually, because you texted me being like, I think I broke my foot.
Okay, one of the nights we went out to dinner, and it was such a beautiful dinner. Like, it was like high, it was just so beautifully decorated. And so, obviously, girl code, you go to the bathroom with your girlfriend, right? I didn't even need to pee. I went to the bathroom with her, and
there's is like, that a girl code?
I don't know. I think it is. I mean, usually girls go with girls.
Do you provide like emotional support?
100%, because we got to debrief in the bathroom, you know, like, talk shit a little bit
about the boys.
Yeah, like, anyways, no, it's definitely girl code to go to the bathroom together. So I went with her in solitude.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the word, solitude?
No,
no, that's not the right word.
No, it's solidarity.
Yeah. Anyways, this bathroom is so stunning, and I'm sitting on the couches waiting for her, and I'm like living my best life. We go to leave. And I whipped the door so hard that the entire mirror shattered behind me. And I didn't even realize it did. And my friend was like, God. Did you know that you just shattered the mirror? And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, we need to get out of here immediately. Like, I'm not trying to pay for that. So we leave. But
watch the hotel or restaurant is listening to this and be like, this bitch.
No, literally. But also, like, if it's such a high-end restaurant, why is your mirror so shitty? It shouldn't have to break with like a tiny little door hit, you know? But
maybe a lot of ugly people looked at it. You know how they say like mirrors break when a lot of
I'm done. Is that a thing?
It's a saying, I think.
Well, tell me why. After this happens, like all these series of bad events happen. One, we lose power on the entire block of our Airbnb in Mexico. So, and the floors are tile floors. So it is completely soft, like wet as hell from the humidity. And I'm just like, la-di-da-di-da, just like running around. And I literally fell. I fell and broke. Wait, pretty sure I broke my toe.
If you know Deepti, when she says she was actually like la-di-da-di-da, she was.
No, I was la-di-da-di-da.
She actually.
I was like, wee.
When I see her just like, just being somewhere, just like walking around her apartment. She really is la-di-da-di-da.
No, I can't even wear socks on hardwood floor. Like, why did I think I could run around while it was
wet? Wait, okay,
so
you broke her toe. I mean, so you broke your toe.
Well, honestly, it just like hurt because I was so drunk at this point that I was like, oh, that hurt a little. Like I fell. Next day, swollen as hell. I couldn't even move. That happens. And then like all these negative things started happening. And I literally looked at my friend and I was like, oh my gosh, my mom was right. Like superstitions are accurate. Like I probably have 7 years of bad luck.
There's a time where I would get so stressed from working 60 to 70 hours a week as a management consultant. I was skipping meals because I just didn't have the time to eat, and I was literally losing my mind. And as a result of all of this, the stress, the long hours, demanding schedule, my hair was thinning and shedding really bad. I started seeing all these people use Nutrafol on social media, and I was like, why not? Let me try it. It's not like I could just stop working. And after 3 to 6 months of taking it, my hair was thicker, it shed less, because Nutrafol addresses root causes of hair loss. So your hair is never just about your hair, and Nutrafol knows that, and that's why Nutrafol takes a whole body approach to hair health, addressing the problems inside to help hair grow on the outside, supporting your lifestyle, not just your hairstyle.
I've experienced this too, and that's why I take Nutrafol. I used it for 2 years now, and it's helped me make my hair thicker and have less shedding. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. And I love that there's no prescription or doctor visits required, and you can see results in just 3 to 6 months.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OutOfThePods.
Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OutOfThePods.
That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OutOfThePods.
No, I'm scared. I'm actually really scared. Like, I haven't found love until this point. Now it's just going to be 7 more years. Like, I'm
so okay. 7 years goes pretty fast.
No, best believe as soon as I got home, I saged the shit out of myself and my apartment, my clothes, my luggage, everything. I was like, please.
Is that why you passed out? Because the bad energy was you?
No, that happens to you, not me, bitch.
That's actually very true. That's why I'm so scared to say. Because I was like, I don't want.
You're like, don't light that thing in there.
I was like, I don't want my soul to float away.
I did a Palo Santo too. I'm actually kind of nervous. I'm kind of nervous.
You know what? Well, I have no advice for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was going to say you win some, you lose some, but.
I definitely lost some that day.
Yeah.
But anyways, no, Mexico was a beautiful trip. This was the first time I went with this group of friends, which it's like, it's so nice because, you know, like you make friends in the city, but it's so cool that I met them, what, like two and a half years ago. And like,
we've become right. Yeah.
So close at this point that you can like go on trips like that. You really learn a lot about a person when you go vacation together.
Yeah. And what did you learn?
That I could redo this vacation trip with them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They like, yeah. The guys took care of us. Like, and we're, I mean, I took care of them a lot more too. No, it was fun. It was a good trip.
Good.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about your trip. How was it?
Honestly, it was so relaxing. Not much happened. The only funny thing that happened is, so if you guys don't know, I went to Charleston with my best friend last week. And one of the nights we went to a musical theater that her coworker, mm-hmm. who lives in Charleston, was starring in.
Yeah.
Just like a small production. And afterwards, we went out for drinks with him and two of his co-stars. And... you know, we're having a good time. All of a sudden, all three of their phones light up and they look at their phones and they're like, guys, there was someone from Love is Blind in the audience tonight. Like, oh, it must have been a group chat with everyone part of the production.
Yeah.
And he goes like, oh, my gosh. And I'm thinking in my head, OK, so this coworker of my best friend, they're really close. Mm-hmm. Like, they're really close at work. So he has to know that it's me. Like, it must be like a joke.
And you're standing right in front of him.
Yeah, like we're sitting together at a table. And he goes like, oh, Love is Blind. Is that the show where there's like a wall in between two people and they like get married like after a few days or something like that and like never see each other? He goes, what a dumb show. I remember hearing about it. They're all just shitting on Love is Blind. Yeah, they're like, oh, like who would ever do a show like that? So they're like going on and on. I was like, where's the punchline where you say, oh, haha, just kidding. Like, yeah, Natalie just did kidding. The show.
Yeah.
He's no. None of them know, but like my friend's coworker definitely does not know because they just move on. They're like, anyways,
like, stop it.
And like go on to the next topic. And I'm looking at my best friend being like, do we say something?
I'm like, hey, can you say something?
And she goes, hey, haha, Natalie was on Love is Blind. So I think they were talking about her. And they're like, oh my gosh. Oh, like, so cool. Like, completely changed their tune.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no, it's okay. Like, I am a dumbass.
You know, we did fuck up a little bit.
I was like, you know, everything you said is not wrong.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I feel like the later seasons are a little more drama filled than season one was. That's why we did it. I just want to say that.
Like, we did it because we loved season one.
Season one was so pure. That's why we're doing season two.
Well, it doesn't matter because regardless, they're like, who does reality TV? Yeah. And I'm like,
you're right.
I was like, not me. But it was so funny just sitting there because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what people actually think of people who do reality TV.
Oh, I'm sure. They probably see us and they're like, ugh.
And then you're like, damn.
Not like, really, though.
That was like, I'm humbled.
You know what? I mean, they're in theater, so technically it's in the same realm-ish performing. I'm just kidding. It's really not. But
anyways, that was like the one thing where I was like, wow. I was like, I could not be more embarrassed that I did that show. Yeah. But I thought it was kind of funny.
They were probably being the nicest ever to you for the rest of the
they
night.
They were the nicest.
They're like, you want a shot? You want a drink?
Literally. They're like, oh, can we buy you a drink? And also when we were departing at the end.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my gosh, you were so funny, so great. It was so nice meeting you. And I was like, really trying to compensate for what you said, eh?
They know how to get to your heart. If they call you funny, you're like, yes, that's a Cupid's arrow to your heart.
They're like, I'm funny. Boom.
Yeah. You're like, yes.
My ego is through the roof. So anyways, that is what happened. So essentially my ego is hurt. And also DJ has a broken toe. So here we are. You know what's super exciting, though, that I heard recently?
What?
That we are having more cast members of Love is Blind come out with podcasts.
I saw that.
And it's only us being like, yay, and probably everyone else being like, what the fuck? So Kwame and Zach and Bliss came out with podcasts the last few weeks, joining the other 11 Love is Blind cast members.
11?
Who have either had or have podcasts.
Wow.
There's 11. I counted.
Damn, I thought we were unique, but we definitely are not.
But can I tell you why I bring this up?
Yes.
Because literally when we launched out of the pods, people were up in arms how we were the only two people with podcasts, like, oh my gosh, like, of course they're having. And I'm like, I remember when we came out with our podcast, the only reason I was shocked at people saying like we were the only two, because I was like, we're only number 8 and 9. I was like, there's 7 other podcasts that have already come out from Love is Blind cast members.
Right. Yeah. The backlash was unnecessary.
Absolutely. But let me tell you, more people are getting podcasts, and I love podcasts. I'm not gonna lie. Like, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Yeah. I think everyone has a voice, and if this is the platform they want to do it in, then absolutely go for it.
But isn't it crazy that there's 11 Love is Blind cast members with podcasts now?
Yeah, you know,
it's higher than I thought.
I really think that it's going to become like the Bachelor franchise, where there's just going to be so many seasons, and people see the opportunity to, one, make money, and also like have a voice, and have, because people do ask them for opinions, or what did you think of the new season, and yada yada yada. So it's like,
or like about their lives,
yeah. Or they've gone through some adversity that like people resonate with, and it's like, it makes sense for people to start a podcast. And I think as seasons go on, there's just going to be more and more and more.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really excited to listen to Zach and Bliss's podcast because I am very curious about like what they say about like motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And fatherhood, I guess.
Yeah. Like, parenthood.
But yeah, parenthood. But I'm also really excited for Kwame's because I feel like they got him and Chelsea, his current wife from Love is Blind, got such a weird edit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember like watching that season? And it was like, they were definitely edited a little bit weird. Like, you remember when they made the whole Portland move, the move from Portland to Seattle, huge deal?
Yeah.
When it was also, I wouldn't say like an issue, but also something that was happening in Tiffany and Brett's relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Kwame and Chelsea were edited to be that couple that you're like kept guessing, like, are they going to make it?
Yeah. I think that's exactly what their edit was. It's like, it was up in the air because they needed to create some tension and some drama to see like what happens. Because Kwame would essentially have to leave his entire life behind in Portland to move to Seattle.
Yeah.
Which he did, which is a really hard process, but that's exactly what Tiffany was going through.
Tiffany had to go to from Seattle to Portland. Mm-hmm. Like Brett said in the interview we did with him 2 weeks ago. So I'm very excited, but what I'm just trying to say is we're not the only two people with podcasts in the Love is Blind franchise.
11 is crazy.
11 is crazy, but I'm very supportive. And also what I will say is I know two more are coming out. Two more podcasts are coming out Love is Blind cast members. Actually, no, sorry. There's more than 11 because Brittany from season 6 also has a podcast.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So 12.
So there's actually 12.
And then two more upcoming.
Yeah. And I think Chelsea used to have a podcast too. So it's actually 13.
I'm done. I can't even keep track anymore. Let's just assume if you're on Love is Blind, you have a podcast that comes with the contract now.
But I know two more cast members who are coming out with one. And
sheesh.
And what I will say is if anyone else says, I can't believe Natalie and Deep D have a podcast, I'm going to be like, we'll tell that to the other X amount of people.
Welcome to the dark side, podcasters. If you are looking for the most perfect sentimental Mother's Day gift, you have to check out StoryWorth. StoryWorth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom or a mother figure in your life for years to come. I am making one for my mom, and it has been such an emotional process. Reading her never-before-told stories made me realize what an amazing life she's lived before she had me and my siblings, and how she, too, was just a young woman navigating the world like I am now. And it made me feel just so much closer to her, and I love that I get to keep her stories for years and years to come. For me, my kids, and my kids' kids.
So here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Like, at what times in your life were you the happiest and why? And tell me about a time you got in trouble at work. And all your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. And after a year, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/pods.
That's storyworth.com/pods to save $10 on your first purchase. But speaking about not really Love is Blind, but Netflix in general, did you watch Baby Reindeer?
Are you kidding me? I binged it in one day. In one day. It was so good. Okay, my sister also watched it and she's like, that is not for me. And I was like, you're too innocent.
It wasn't for me.
It wasn't for you either.
It's like not the type of show that I typically watch.
Oh, that's the exact type of show I always watch. Like, I love true crime. I love people's lives. Because one thing that like really, really shocked me was the fact that the actor in the show, like, this is his real life and this is what happened to him.
Yeah.
There are certain parts he said in interviews that were exaggerated for the show. But for the most part, it's the things that happened to him in his real life. And I thought it was so crazy that he acted that out. You know, like, I'm sure it was therapeutic, but I'm sure it was like so difficult to do at the same time.
And it was also like the most talked about show. Like, I was seeing it all over social media. It was number one on Netflix, and I think it still is. Like, okay, let me just like see what you know, all the attention and like talk is about.
Mm-hmm.
I had so many mixed emotions about the main character.
Yes, as you should. That's what he wanted. Yes.
And I was like, you know, sometimes I dislike him. Sometimes I'm rooting for him. Sometimes I'm annoyed by him. Sometimes I'm like really empathetic. And I realized like the reason why I felt so many emotions, because typically, right, like when you have a protagonist of a TV show or a movie,
mm-hmm.
you typically end up rooting for them at the end.
Yeah.
And for him, I had so much like my emotions towards Richard, the actor, I think he goes by Donnie on the show.
Mm-hmm.
it swung. Like, it was like, it was like a pendulum. Yes. I was like, either I liked him or disliked him. I liked him, disliked him. Like, within one episode, I like felt that way like, yes, 20 times.
That's exactly.
And I realized it's because it's so honest. It's like a really an honest portrayal of what he went through when it comes to stalking and, sorry, trigger warning, sexual assault.
Yes, exactly. That's Donnie in the show. That's exactly what he wanted you to feel, because they're such human emotions. And even with somebody like Martha, who was stalking him, he felt empathy towards her. He felt like she needed a friend, because he's been in a position where he's felt trauma before. And so I think like his kindness is kind of what spiraled a lot of it. But no, that's exactly what he wanted you to feel. It's like, it's not like he's saying he's a perfect human being. In fact, I think he's like, no, like, I struggled so much. But yeah, that's why there's all these waves of emotions. And that was so beautiful. Oh. Yes, you're right. His authenticity and his vulnerability, that must have been so hard to put out there, because he put all of his mistakes out there too.
Well, I was reading an article about someone who experienced, you know, abuse and sexual assault in the past. And they're like, I was able, this person said, I was able to relate to Donnie often, like, especially the decisions he made that a lot of viewers are judging him on. Because if you have not been in the position to go through trauma like he has, or like I have, so this is coming from the view of this person who wrote this article, they're like, you will never like truly understand like the decisions he makes. I think for me, I definitely like judge the main character for his actions. And then, but I was thinking back to how like a lot of people who went through similar things as him, like sexual assault, abuse, stalking, like can find relatability in a story and like truly understand like the decisions that the main character made, Donnie. And I think, and after reading that, how people understand where he's coming from, I was like, I don't know shit about anyone or anything. And I was thinking about too, like, remember how we talked about how you got a little bit of backlash? It wasn't even backlash. Just some people questioned, like, why did you stay with Shake so long until the altar? And I was like, if you were there, guys, right? Like, some people would make the choice of, like, if he showed disinterest or said that, you know, like,
it's just not going to happen. Like, we're not going to.
If he showed like the disinterest he did like during filming, I think people were like, I would have left. Like, why didn't Deep D leave? And I was like, you had to be there. It's very different, because I think you've talked about it on the podcast where you're like, I want to try. I want to prove myself.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from a place, and we've talked about it, like where you've always had to prove yourself growing up and being bullied.
Yes.
And so I realized when I remember hearing that feedback from some viewers, it's like they don't know shit about you.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like me, where people are like, why is her humor so fucking mean? And I was like, you know, sometimes it just comes from a place of like me protecting myself.
Exactly. It's a it's a defense mechanism almost to be like, no, I'm going to get ahead of this. But that's exactly what it is. And it's like, it's easier to judge people in the moment while you're watching, because they're not having the emotions that you're feeling while you're going through the experience, you know? Also, on TikTok, people are posting Richard's original stand-up comedy skits, like they from the past, from when he did stand-up. And you can hear Martha's laugh in the background.
Like the real life Martha.
The real life Martha.
Ooh, I don't like that.
I know, isn't that crazy? Wow. I was like, whoa.
I know, because
It like makes it so much more real.
Real, that like he's not exaggerating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so in the show, if you guys don't know what we're talking about is, on the show, so Donnie, who is based on Richard, who's the creator of the show, Richard Gadd, he is, he has like these stand-up comedy shows, and Martha, his stalker, like shows up to them and is like laughing in the crowd and like also does some crazy ass stuff.
That's scary.
And, you know, obviously some of his stand-up comedy shows were filmed. And so the real life Richard shows that people were able to find, you could hear the real life Martha, his stalker.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That makes it so much more
Ooh. That's why it was really hard for me to watch, because it's like, it's oh, watch. Wow, it's a... It really, it's not based on a true story. It is like near a true story.
Honestly, when at the very end of the and I'm sorry if this is a spoiler alert for people, but I was actually kind of like, I felt so empathetic towards Martha too, because of her childhood and the way she grew up. And that's why she had this fascination with baby reindeer. She had like a baby reindeer and he looks like Donnie in the show or whatever. And I was like, so it's just so crazy how the cycle continues, you know, of like when your childhood is so important. And oh, man, that's like, it's sad. I'm empathetic for all the people involved, truly, except for the assaulter, of course.
Yeah.
But wow, what a heavy show.
But yeah, I'd say it's not my type of a show. I was like, I feel like I watch TV and shows to feel like to escape reality and feel happy. And I was like, this one's the one you picked after a long time.
I'm dead.
Didn't really do it for me. I'm not going to lie.
I was Your friend is like, let's watch a really, really good show. And you're like, yeah.
It was really good. But I'm like, it definitely, it's one of those things where I'm like, damn, it really impacted me in the best way, but also not great
It's
ways.
A very thought-provoking show because there's so many layers to it. And I was like, wow, there's so much to take away. Can I just say one more thing about this show? At the very end, when everyone's speculating that when he sits down at the end, just like Martha did with him, and he didn't have his wallet on him, so the bartender offered him a free drink, and everyone's speculating that it's like, oh my gosh, did he become like his stalker? Is that like what happens? And it's not like that at all. I think what he's trying to show there is that empathy comes from everyone. And it just so happened that he gave his empathy to the wrong person, which ended up being his stalker. But he did nothing wrong by being empathetic to somebody and offering a free drink.
And that's why I'm a mean ass bitch. What this show taught me is I will never be kind to anyone ever again.
No, you're right, though. Can I tell you, this is exactly why when I went to New York, I am like such a happy person that I'm just like laughing at everyone. I'm smiling, like walking down the street. And my friend's like, stop smiling at people. That is an invitation to talk to you. And I was like, are you kidding me? I can't just walk down the street happy. They're like, no, like you do not do that. And I'm and it did scare me one time because someone did come up to me, like a homeless person did come up to me one time because I just like smiled and he was following me for a little bit. I was like, oh my God. No, but yeah, I don't smile anymore walking down the street. So
there was, I did have an instance like that too with my sister.
Yeah.
Where a man who I don't think was like mentally well was saying like, hi pretty lady, and like, you know, you kind of have to ignore and walk away. And my sister goes, thank you so much, like that's so nice of you. And he followed us for blocks,
dude.
And I was like,
I am your sister.
I was telling my sister you cannot, I'm sorry, like, yes, you were very polite, but in this life you cannot be polite to everyone.
Wait, that's so funny. I am Sam. I'm always like, thank you. And meanwhile, like, stop talking to them.
Meanwhile, my thing is like, if I'm on the train and someone's trying to talk to me, I'm like, I speak no English. Sorry. I'd be like, so sorry. No English.
You should just start talking.
No, I do that with an Asian accent. I go, no, sorry. And people are like, that's really bad. And I was like, you know what? I'm just protecting myself in this major city, okay?
No, I agree. I think
if you're not pretending you don't speak English, I don't know. Like,
you should start. I'm just kidding.
And I was like, look.
I'll just start talking in Hindi. That's smart. I'm gonna start doing that.
Yeah, if you give yourself a little bit of an accent, and look, people are gonna disagree with me here and be like, "That's so wrong." But look,
that's not that wrong, actually. Why is that so wrong? I don't think that's bad.
I was like, I just don't want people.
Who
talking
are you hurting?
Me.
You're not.
Yeah, I was
hurting
like,
anyone.
I don't want to talk to strangers. I was like, why is it that when we're young, we're told don't talk to strangers, and then all of a sudden, here we are, 25, and they're like, you should be talking to strangers.
Did you say you're 25 just now?
No, like 25 and up. Oh. Like, you know, like when you become like an your brain is fully developed at age 25. But no, I do that. I'm always like, I'd be like, no, sorry.
No, honestly, that's actually really smart. I'm going to start doing that.
You really should.
Yeah.
I do it everywhere.
Yeah.
So if I'm like, I used to eat at restaurants by myself when I was traveling for work, when I was a consultant. Mm-hmm. Same thing. If like a guy comes up, I'm like, sorry. no English.
I am, I'd be like, oh.
Not the shy girl. And then I pretend I'm like picking up like Google Translation. He goes, oh, it's okay.
Google Translation.
He's like, he's probably thinking his head. Invitation. He's like, this language barrier is a little too hard for me.
What if he saw you pull up the Google Translate? And he goes, yeah, absolutely. Let's communicate. And then you're effed.
The waiter comes. He's like, everything's okay. I was like, yeah, it's really good. Thank you so much.
And he's like,
what
this
were you
bitch.
Saying, sir? Be like, no English.
We wanted to take a pause here to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. One thing I've been struggling with is getting things off my chest. I'm actually not very good at doing this. I tend to bottle up my stressors and emotions inside, sometimes because I don't want to bother or stress anyone else with my issues, but I realize that this tends to affect me negatively.
I 100% used to be like you, and I used to do this too, and I realized that it would also affect me in a negative way, but thankfully therapy is now my safe space to get things off my chest and to figure out how to work through whatever is weighing me down. And in that way, therapy has empowered me to be the best version of myself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online too, so it's convenient, flexible, and can be suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/outofthepods today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/outofthepods. Speaking about Netflix in general, so I got sucked into this whole situation involving Harry Jowsey.
Wow, it's a lot.
Someone sent it to us in our DMs, and that's, I read it and I was like, what's going on here? So I did my little research. It's not like any crazy news or anything. I think it's very niche. But so let me just set the
stage. I feel like we have a lot of thoughts.
Yeah. So Harry Jowsey, who is best known as a cast member of Too Hot to Handle Season 1, a reality TV show on Netflix. So he launched a podcast last week called Boyfriend Material. And he is getting so much backlash just in general for his personality, but also for the first episode. So Harry was on Dancing with the Stars and he was being shipped with his dancing partner, Riley. Mm-hmm. And he definitely fueled the flames and insinuated a lot on social media that they were dating, had and that they had a deeper relationship than just being dance partners.
Yes. And he made weird jokes too. At one point in Dancing with the Stars, he said something about Riley being pregnant and she was like, Harry. So like there was definitely some weird situations.
Yeah. Like he made it seem like they were definitely more than friends.
Yeah.
Made very like romantic or flirty TikToks with her. Even said in interviews, like when, you know, when interviewers asked, like, are you guys dating? He wouldn't like say no. Like he would kind of insinuate like there was more going on.
He was fueling the fire.
So anyways, on his first podcast episode, he clarifies like, hey, like Riley and I were nothing more than friends. I had to set a boundary with her. He calls her a cute little girl, a cute little blonde girl. Like he is very condescending towards her, but also says in this episode how he was or is in love with his ex, mm-hmm. who people think is Jess from season 6. So this is what social media is saying, and we've already talked about this, how Harry Jowsey and Jess from Love is Blind season 6 met on Perfect Match season 2 and dated for a little bit. So mm-hmm. he's saying on his first podcast episode how he's still in love with her, or at least was, and also like proposed to her at one point too.
I have so many thoughts.
But they ended up breaking it off because of all the Harry and Riley rumors. But he goes, we never leaned into it. Like, we never leaned into those rumors. Please. And people are like, yes, you did, Harry. You're such a fucking liar. You're now trying to change history and the narrative. This is where it gets really juicy, though. It clearly pissed off Riley, his former dance partner, because Riley started liking comments on her TikToks and her Instagram like posts about how like people essentially commenting like, you know, you're a cute little blonde girl. Like, look at this cute little blonde girl thriving, essentially like kind of shitting on Harry. And then Harry and her ended up unfollowing each other. And then Riley started following Georgia Hazarati, who was Harry's ex, who exposed him last year for being like very manipulative privately and publicly and making up lies about his exes. So clearly, this is what I got from this, or this is what people are speculating. Him and Riley were more than just friends. Or he led Riley on. He led Riley on. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this podcast episode comes out where he's condescending and kind of, you know, says like, I had to set my boundaries with her that nothing was going to happen. People are saying like, this is such a pattern with Harry Jowsey.
Yeah, exactly.
Where all of his exes or women that he's associated with romantically have like really bad things to say about him.
Yeah. I think the pattern with Harry is so obvious. And I think like I came to that realization when Georgia spoke out on Sophia with an F's podcast. But I think that Harry, again, I'm just speculating that this is the case, but I think Harry goes wherever there is clout or wherever there is an opportunity to like enhance his social media presence or kind of just like create engagement. And that's where he goes. And he uses women to do that. And obviously with Perfect Match coming out, he's jumping back on the Jess bandwagon because obviously she's going to get a lot of attention. So he's like, yep, I was in love with her, blah, 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 blah. And Riley's time has passed because Dancing with the Stars is over. The tour for Dancing with the Stars is over. And so Riley has served her purpose, essentially. And so he's like, wonderful. I'm going to like use her now for the very first episode of Boyfriend Material. Also, don't you have to be a boyfriend to be boyfriend material?
No, literally.
Not that I'm shitting on him, but I kind of am. Because, like, don't hurt Riley. Are you kidding me?
When we met Harry last year, I get why people are quick to, like, forgive him.
Yeah.
Because he is very, very charming.
Yeah. Very charismatic, good looking.
And it's crazy because, like, Francesca Farrigo and Georgia Hazzarotti have both spoken out against him and their stories are very similar. Yeah. And now this whole Riley thing is happening. Mm-hmm. And clearly he did something effed up with Jess because what now people are saying about Jess is that someone like tagged her in an Instagram story talking about how she deserves better and Riley deserves better. And Jess liked that Instagram story. Love so someone that. On TikTok like confirmed that being like, she liked it. So Jess also clearly knows what is being said about Harry right now. But I was just thinking about how like there is definitely a clear pattern where where his exes or people who have dated him say like he kind of like uses people.
Yeah.
And is like super manipulative. And yet he is constantly being forgiven by the masses.
Yeah. And I think this time around is a little different because he's done a lot of podcasts before, but like him having his own platform where he's just kind of talking, I feel like it's going to get him in a little bit of trouble because he's just like spilling his actual thoughts. And I didn't think the day would come when people would turn on Harry, but they have. The Riley fans of the world have turned on him. There's like people making TikToks about it. They're attaching Riley to like all the Taylor Swift songs. And it's so good. Also, Riley did this. She just bought her first home. And she made a TikTok about it and it was and she used Can Do It With a Broken Heart by Taylor Swift, like the new song. And it was so good. She even did a dig at him because she made a TikTok about something with her, the design of her home. But she's like, yeah, this cute little blonde girl is like doing big things. And I was like, oh, I love you.
No, it is. It's so bad. It's so bad. Like, you know, it's bad when they unfollowed each other. And I was like, oh, yeah, whatever he said on that podcast and the fact he condescendingly called her a cute little blonde girl. Set. I feel like that shows us like way more went down behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But I did hear from people who are on the cast of Perfect Match season 2. And I'm just going to say this, like this is allegedly because I'm not.
Hearsay.
Like, yeah. Harry told people that it's impossible that he will get a bad edit on Perfect Match season 2 because Netflix would never turn on him. And like, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that's the way Harry is thinking right now.
Yeah.
And honestly, if what his exes and the women who have been led on by him or had like flings with him, whatever, if what they're saying is true about him, I really do hope he does get called out and he's not given like a good edit, but he's given a fair edit of like who he is.
Right.
Honestly, what pisses me off though about just all of this is the fact that his exes have said something about him. Georgia has said something. Francesca has said something about Harry and his behavior privately and publicly, like what he's, how he talks about his exes on podcasts. And yet he is always able to recover.
Yeah.
He's always able to recover.
Well, I think that
and again, it comes back to the fact that he is a tall, white, good looking guy, conventionally attractive guy.
Yes, I think that is one of the things. And also, for some reason, in this industry of reality TV, women are more blamed than the men are.
Actually, totally.
It's so true. But I think also this time around, it feels like it's a little different, only because people saw the evidence with Riley, like all the TikToks, him saying on live of Dancing with the Stars, oh, I just got her pregnant, like, or Riley's pregnant, like saying stuff like that on screen. And then also, like, I don't know, there's just so many things that he crossed the boundary with, and like joking about them kissing and making out. Like, it's just, it was a lot. And I think people see the evidence now, and then now they see him shitting on her on his very first episode of Boyfriend Material.
Well, he didn't shit on her, but
not shit on her, but he did say something about setting boundaries with her as if she was crossing a boundary in any way.
Yeah, like it was condescending.
Like, oh, like, I have to set the boundary. Like, no, you didn't.
He was like, he goes, she's too good for me. Like, I think he tried to recover by being like, she's too good for me or whatever. And I was like,
yeah, it didn't.
I was like, who are you to? That's like condescending too. Like, she can't make the choice herself.
Yeah, exactly.
So
it just
was
very icky. But again, I think this time around is a little different. He's getting a lot more backlash than with his prior two exes. So
yeah, but here's the thing. I think because the Dancing with the Stars crowd doesn't really overlap with Netflix reality TV, because Dancing with the Stars is primarily US. Yeah. I feel like shows like Perfect Match, of course, are international. Mm-hmm. That I think depending on his edit on Perfect Match, if it's really good, I think people kind of move on from this whole situation right now.
Yeah. But
and I feel
TikTok
like,
is international. And
I know.
TikTok, like every comment on Boyfriend
Material.
But the
material. Same thing happened like with, you know, the whole with Georgia speaking out about Harry's behavior.
For some reason, I feel like that didn't get as much traction as Riley.
I think it's going to really depend on his edit on Perfect Match season 2.
Forget Perfect Match because it's probably already done, sealed, ready to go. They're probably just about going to release it, what, this summer? So I'm sure they're doing like very minor edits to it. I think his true colors are going to show on this podcast because it's so hard to hide when you're constantly having to talk. You know what I mean? Like having your own podcast is like a little bit different and it's more intimate. And I feel like he messed up in the first episode where he didn't see the red flag of what he was saying already.
In that first podcast episode, there's two thoughts that I had.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, he says the reason why him and his ex broke up is because of the Riley rumors, like him and Riley. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, if you were really in love with someone or if you wanted to be with them, why the fuck would you not shut down those rumors? Why wouldn't you be like, no, Riley and I aren't together? Why would you say in interviews, like we'll see. Like play with it. And also, why would you create TikToks and posts where like you and your dance partner are in like kind of like a lovey-dovey pose?
Yeah.
If that was the reason why that caused the breakup. And I was like, dude, this is all on you. And I feel like he's playing victim.
Yeah.
Again, like trying to blame someone else. Mm-hmm. But my second thought was, I feel like he's bringing this up and kind of like, you know,
setting the stage for
bringing his
match.
Ex back up because it is Jess.
Yes.
Who he met on Perfect Match season 2 because Perfect Match is coming out.
Can I tell you? That's exactly what I think too. Also, he's being so messy because first of all, in this episode, he also said, oh, like when we were on the verge of breaking up and like we weren't even together, but I proposed. And I'm like, bitch, are you joking? That is such a gaslighting. That is such a like love bombing thing to do. And plus in his bio, in his profile, he put, I miss us with like the heart, like the eyes that are crying. And I'm like, he is so good at playing into the narrative that it's like everything he does is, it comes off inauthentic now. It just is like, people can see right through it.
Again, this is us like just, making just, assumptions and reacting to like what's happening on social media. But I'm very curious what's going to happen with him and Jess now.
I know,
when Perfect Match season 2 comes out, I wonder if she's going to address all of this, like what really happened in their relationship. Because I'm sure, I could bet my money that she is pissed.
Oh.
The fact that he is bringing everything back up. But I also hope if he was the issue in their relationship and why they broke up, which it does seem like he was. But I feel like I hope that when Perfect Match comes out, she drags him. If he's the issue, if he was the issue and like what people are speculating with him and Riley and also like, you know, now he's playing victim in this relationship that he had with Jess. I hope that Jess tells her side of the story on everything.
I think she will. It's just a matter of time because obviously it's not going to happen during Perfect Match. I think she'll have her opportunity after and I'm patiently waiting. I cannot wait.
Yes. But men like Harry give me the biggest fucking ick.
Well, because they're always looking for their next dose of fame. That's what it is. It's like, it's hard when you see the attention, when you get the attention, when you get the money, when you get all eyes on you at all times, you're getting all these deals and now you're part of the biggest like podcast network, which is Caller Daddies like and Unwell. Like that's a huge platform to be on. You're getting all these opportunities while you're continuing this behavior. It almost seems like he's being rewarded for it.
Yeah.
So obviously he's going to continue on the same path, you know? And it's, again, that dose of fame and attention really is addicting.
We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
But you know
what?
I always say karma is a bitch. Karma is beautiful. What goes around comes around and he'll have his time. And hopefully it's Jess that does
it. 100%.
But anyways.
One thing that's really exciting is we're bringing back our Burning Questions series next week. So if you follow us on Instagram, our Instagram page is Out of the Pods. You can ask any burning question you have for Deep Tea and I.
Yes. And please take it easy on us. I'm just kidding.
They're like, please keep it PG-13 at least.
Yes. And please make sure you guys leave a review and subscribe.
See you next Wednesday.
Bye.